Welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here for you every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 to talk about jobs, careers. Today we're talking a little bit about volunteerism, and I'm going to call this our Thanksgiving show. We've got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. I definitely was moved to do something to share the publicity that we can give to organizations today with nonprofits that are out there helping people on Long Island every single day, but even especially at the holiday. And it seems like at the holiday times is when we notice them more, of those of us that aren't using the services. So I wanted to give back today, and that's what we're doing. So with us in the studio is Sister Patricia Griffith, Executive Director of Mercy Haven, Kim Nichols, Development Director for the Retreat, and Major James Betts, the General Secretary for the Salvation Army. Guys, I want to try to give some time to some of the amazing and positive and wonderful things that have happened as a result of these three organizations. Let's start with Kim. I'm sure you've helped some turn the lives of many people around.
The reality is domestic violence, it ain't pretty. Mm-hmm. But surviving and thriving after, that's a beautiful thing. And yeah, that's the one I want to talk about, are the families that come through this and come out on the other side. They are very healthy, they are very loving, and can join the community and spread that you can overcome this, you can survive this, you don't have to live this way. And we have so many families. Last year alone we helped 3,600 people come through this. So it's either through our hotline, through our shelter, but mostly through our advocates and counseling. That's where you see people really change lives. And that's the part that it makes it worth it every day.
Well, you got a great example for us.
There is there's a little boy that when I first started with the retreat I met, and he came into our shelter and he didn't speak to anyone. And they spent 90 days in our shelter because it's a very safe environment. Well, things were worked out for his mom. By the end of that 90 days, because for the first time in his life he felt safe, he was talking, he was smiling, he was running around and playing, and he was a little boy again. So he's one of my favorites, and he's one of the first children that I met when I started with the retreat, and he's the one I will carry in my heart always.
Turning a child's life around, that has to be so rewarding. I didn't exactly turn my own son's life around, but I helped him get where he is, and that made me feel good, so I can imagine how you feel. How about you, Major?
Oh, it's just tremendous to see people's lives changed.
Wait. Let me give a number. Let me give this number. I'm looking at a number here that the Salvation Army has served 2.6 million meals last year just in the greater New York area. So this is a global organization. It'd be impossible to extrapolate how many all over the world, unless you do know that number. But that's an awful lot of people you're helping. I'm looking for a good story you got.
It's just tremendous. And that food can be happening in one of our facilities, it can be happening in one of our shelters, or it can be happening in the street. And we recently had one of our teams going out into the street, and they kind of would look for those places where homeless folks would gather and not go to serve them, you know, I'm here to serve the homeless, but more go to break bread with a brother and sister. And they had, on their way out, someone from the community said, hey, I have this guy I know that I think is living on the streets. His name is Clyde. Can you just keep an eye out for him? And we're thinking, how in the world are we going to? Okay, we'll do our best. And sure enough, our team came up over a hill, and there were some railroad tracks down at the bottom. And there was a camp set up of folks who didn't have homes. And there was a little fire, and they were drinking, and they were just talking, and there was one gentleman kind of laying on the tracks, and there was a train coming. This is a true story. The train is coming, barreling down toward him, and our team saw it, but the guys on the tracks didn't see it. And so they started screaming, get off the tracks, get off the tracks, get off the tracks. Well, everybody got off except the one gentleman who was laying there, and he couldn't get off. He was intoxicated. He was a little bit overweight, and he just could not get himself off of the tracks. And the our team just kept sprinting down there, and then his friends were trying to help him, and literally they got him off with about 3 seconds to spare, and the train just barreled by. And so our team is there. Everybody's trying to catch their breath, and they look, and they're like, you know, hi, I'm John, and I'm Jim, and et cetera, et cetera. And the gentleman who'd been stuck on the tracks looked up, and he said, my name's Clyde. And it was the very gentleman they had been asked to seek out that night.
Wow.
And today, he's married. He just cut an album that he is a musician, we found out later.
Wow.
Now, this is a little bit of time. We ended up being able to get him into our rehabilitation program.
Right.
But we literally would go down as a team and just bring hot dogs and a smile on that team, mm-hmm. and would just spend time with him till there was enough trust built up that he wanted to come in. So it was just a tremendous opportunity where food led to something much, much mm-hmm. more exciting.
I wonder if people can magnify how many times that must have happened. And they really see the scope of what you do. I mean, that's just one story, mm-hmm. but there must be thousands of stories like that. So
absolutely.
Congratulations for the amazing work that you do.
Thank you.
Sister Pat.
Well, I'm thinking at listening to the two of you, like how important it is to invest time, right? Things don't happen in the kind of manipulative way we might, you know, think of, or therapeutic way we get paid for, and it really is the relationship of provider and person who is willing to allow us to be that intimate with them, to care for them. So I think that's a big part. And I think of two stories. One is when we first opened Mercy Haven 31 years ago, a lot of people we took in were people right from the hospital, and they were very institutionalized. And there was one gentleman whose name was Nat, was with us, and he was 16 years in the mental hospital. And every night when everybody would go to bed, staff had to go back into his room and shut his light off. And then in the morning, they had to put it on because he was so institutionalized, he didn't know he could do it. He had lost that skill. Mm. A person like that needs a lot of love and care, a lot of just consistency in order to be made strong. We also have a community garden, and it's open to the local Brentwood community besides our residents. And we have people who are, are coming from a senior center, or people who are immigrant populations. And they either share the plot or they have their own. And then 10% of that growth is given to the local food pantries. Mm. And we have had almost 4,000 pounds of food grown, and then 10% of that given away. And it's the poor giving away, not me. Mm. But this one little boy came in, and I said to him, are you gardening with us? And he said, yes, right here. Brings me over, shows me this garden, and I said, and you're going to take some stuff home? And he said, no, because it's not just mine. We do it with the neighborhood. And I said, but part of it is yours. And when he was going home, he came back, and he said goodbye, and he held his little tiny hands, and he had lettuce, pieces of leaves of stuff. Mm. And he said to me, thank you. This is my dinner. Mm. And to know that the kid knew and cared enough about the neighbor that he wasn't going to just take everything, and he was not going to even take his share. I think they teach us much more sometimes.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Now we're getting into the heartwarming stuff here that really what people associate with the holidays and with these organizations. I'll say, you know, there's something that I do, and it gives me a great deal of pleasure, and I think a lot more people should do it and pay it forward. I will meet with somebody almost every week. Now, this is just a job hunter that's fallen on hard times. They're not suffering from any of the conditions that your folks are. These are perfectly normal people, but they just don't have a job. And they get really down. And they start questioning themselves. And they start like, I don't know. I mean, and then, so I'm very quick to say, did you ever hear about a 46-year-old man that searched for a job and never found one? You never hear a story like that. There is no such story. Everybody always finds a job. And we have to be upbeat about it. I had a guy who was 24, who was unemployed for 3 months, which is not a long period of time, And he was like so down. I said, do you not realize this is a blip on the radar screen? You're going to be working for the next 35. You're going to be wish you had another vacation like this. And sometimes people have to, you have to change their perspective. And I get such a kick out of doing this. I feel so good about it. When I'm done with one of my little breakfasts with one of these people, they're thanking me profusely. They're so appreciative. I get the Christmas cards. I get everything. And it's, if you can turn a person's life around in 45 minutes, then you should do it. That's my attitude. You, if you're capable of doing it, you should do it. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts, in my opinion. So it's something that I do, and now I'm going to get a lot more people calling me. I've been suffering with this for some time because I'm doing the television and radio for so many years that everybody wants to talk to me about and get some help from me, and I just can't help everyone. But for those of you that are listening that I've never helped or can't help, it's not too late. You can get a hold of me here. You can write to me at Scott and Eli News Radio. .com, or you can call me here, 631-451-1039. I want to get back to volunteering. There are multiple ways for people to volunteer their time, but what about just straight-up contributions? What about straight-up sponsorship of events, things like that, where people can put their wallets where their mouths are? Anything that we can, you know, talk about?
Well, I actually have two. Again, if you want to go to www.theretreatinc.org, mm-hmm. you can donate and you will see exactly what level you want to donate on and what we'll use that for. And it could be to sponsor the hotline. It could be for a night of shelter for a family or for educational materials so that we can go into the schools.
And you can contribute, you know, anywhere from low, you know, like where to where, the terms of the contribution.
Anywhere from $10 up to, you
know, $10 million.
$10 million would be great.
Right,
and
right.
We're happy to take your call.
Right, Catherine, and then, go out and get my checkbook.
And then we'll talk about transitional housing.
Right, right.
But something in particular that we're looking for are attorneys. Attorneys in the state of New York need to give pro bono time, mm-hmm. and most of the families that we work with, they need the help of an attorney. So again, if there's any attorneys out there listening right now and you'd like to give us a little help, we have many clients who could use your help.
Can you give them an email address?
Sure.
Attorneys are too lazy to go to websites.
Sure. They can email me, and it's knichols, KNICHOLS, at theretreatinc.org, mm-hmm. or you can call us at 631-329-4398. Mm-hmm. And again, we need them. It could be custody issues. It could be legal issues. We have a variety. It could be immigration issues. Anything that you're interested in, I can probably find a client who needs your help.
Yeah, it seems to me you should be in touch with the schools too, the law schools, right?
And yes, yeah, know. And we're working on a program. That's a great idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Turo, you know, would love something like this, and also the students would get something out of it because they get to practice their craft. Mm-hmm. So that's great idea, great suggestion, and all you attorneys out there, you ought to get it together and make that phone call. Major, what can we do for the Salvation Army?
Well, contributions are certainly always welcome, and it really starts in that red kettle that you see. Mm-hmm. Those nickels and dimes really, really add up. Interestingly, I think the red kettle is the place that children are oftentimes first introduced to thinking about people other than themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll come up to their parent, why do we put money in here? Let me tell you why we put money in here. Mm-hmm. And so that's a place to learn philanthropy. It can be that small. It can be a red box. We have a red box program at Christmas time where we invite people to sponsor a specific family. So for $65, you can buy a Christmas basically for a family. Mm. And then that, you know, that goes up from there. Our annual budget for Greater New York is right around $100 million a year. So that's a lot of money to raise. That's a lot of donations. That's a lot of giving. There are folks really that the whole spectrum of giving sizes, but really it starts with that quarter or a dollar that goes into those red kettles and goes all the way up to the much larger gifts along the way.
Okay, so we give it the red kettle, but if they go to the website, they'll find other ways to give and sponsor?
A big, huge button on there that says donate here.
Okay.
Can't miss it.
All right, terrific. And by the way, do you guys also use, you know, Facebook and social media to also raise money using those platforms?
We use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and they're all Salvation Army NY is the handle.
All right, terrific. And Pat?
Well, I'm thinking that for one of your areas that might be helpful for us to help you, able to be helpful. We have an attorney on staff, and all he does is entitlements. That's his major. That's what he does for our own residents. We've caused class action suits against the state of New York around food stamp litigation and allotments, and we've gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars returned to the poor. Mm. I'd be happy to talk with you and bridge you to him.
That's great. Thank you.
He'd do training for staff. He's really...
And he's probably got friends, too.
Yes. Yes, we have friends.
I mean the lawyers. And they have to do the pro bono, right? It's sort of a requirement.
They have a requirement, I believe, of 50 hours per year.
Right.
But can I just step in right here and say thank you to you, Scott, for hosting this program. When we've been off air, we've been exchanging ideas and having a great time. Mm. So thank you for getting three nonprofits together where we can talk about challenges. And I think that we're helping the same people and we're all heart. So
you three are all heart, and I would love to if there's anything good that comes of having you on the radio show, that's awesome. But it seems to me from what we've been discussing that maybe there should be some sort of coordinator of all these wonderful organizations. We have a lot of great organizations. We have United Way is on Long Island. We've got everybody out here pretty much. Red Cross is here. We invited them. They couldn't make it. John Miller is gone, by the way. He was my buddy over there. He's now at another nonprofit. But doesn't it seem as though maybe there should be some person who's, you know, sort of coordinating all these things?
I think, like for us and our agency, there is local regional meetings for people who are providing services for people living with mental illness. There's a state association. And I think it's really up to the leader to see where are the avenues and to have the right leadership within your agency that you can work with other people and other agencies. I think one of the hard parts is when people see a need, people form a nonprofit. That's a pretty increasing thing now. If a child is taken early in life by some disease, then there's a family foundation. So there's a lot of competition with very little smaller nonprofits, and then we have the giant nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And somewhere between, I think the betweens need to get together. Mm. When you're asking about, volunteers, I said before that anything you can think of, we own 35 houses and they're not single families. So just maintenance is a big thing that, people retire, you give an hour or two. It doesn't have to be your life. It doesn't have to be forever.
How about carpenters?
Carpenters, plumbers, any of those kind
of... Fix-it guys.
Fix-it guys and gals, I'll take.
Right.
And then I think that the other part is really, if you are looking for a job and you don't know what you want to be, why don't you try something? Come talk to us to see if there's a match. Find out what it feels like to be somebody who is a counselor in a group home. And then maybe it isn't what you want to do, but that you at least try to see. So I think the different avenues that people can find jobs isn't just finding the right resume and the right slot, but talking to people. And because each agency has its own climate, feeling.
Setting. And I like what the major said earlier, that people, he sort of observes some of his volunteers and then maybe picks from that pool for the more real jobs. And speaking of that, I didn't give you any time to mention the jobs at Salvation Army, if you want to pop a couple here right now.
We're always hiring. We're hiring folks that are helping us raise dollars. We're hiring direct program folks for our group homes. Mm-hmm. We're hiring people every day to help in our after-school programs with tutoring and counseling. Some of our jobs are seasonal, like the Christmas job. We have summer jobs, like when we run our overnight camp or our day camps in the summer. And then there's more permanent jobs, both administratively and program-wise. Okay. So you would just go to a website, careers.salvationarmy.org, and every job that's open really across this part of the country is on that website, but in particular make sure to highlight the greater New York jobs.
Kim, do you have any jobs you want to mention?
We have a lot of volunteer opportunities, but right now we're pretty much fully staffed. Okay. The people who've been with the retreat, we've been around for 30 years, and a lot of us have been there for quite a while.
Okay, and Pat, any jobs?
We have direct care counselors. Jobs for group homes. We have an adult home that we have openings there, and we have a maintenance job. So they're all immediate.
All right. So what I'm going to ask now in the remaining 40 seconds is if you'd all just give your websites one more time. Start with you, Kim.
TheRetreatInc.org.
Okay. And Jim?
SalvationArmyNY.org or for jobs, careers.SalvationArmy.org.
All right. And Pat?
MercyHaven.org.
Okay. You've been listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. I'd like to just put in a little pitch myself. Yes, I give my time, and you should be giving your time. And one thing I will tell you is you will achieve a level of satisfaction from giving back that you have, if you've never done it before, you can't possibly imagine what it feels like. I know how good it feels, and I strongly recommend it to all my listeners. It's the holidays. It's Thanksgiving. We got all the holidays coming up. Give, give, give. Contribute. Get involved. You've been listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. I want to thank my guest, Kim Nichols, who did a fabulous job for the retreat, and Major James Betts, who did a wonderful job for Salvation Army, and Sister Pat, you were fabulous your organization, Mercy Haven. We're going to be back next week with some companies. No, we won't. We're going to be off next week. We have a rerun going on. We're going to take Thanksgiving off. We'll see you the week after that with more jobs, more companies. Happy hunting, everybody. Your eyes looked from your mother's face.